Welcome, everybody, to episode 287 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Jay Tripp. John, did you miss me? I missed you.
I always miss you. Every week. And then especially on long weeks, right? So,
Do you miss me on any days not Wednesday? That's the question.
No, not at all.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
It was so nice.
I know. So great. We didn't have a show last week. I spent most of the week helping my parents move. They're finalizing the move. My parents actually went from being 10 minutes away to living in Utah. So that's a bit of a distance, but it's a great opportunity, employment opportunity my dad received. So he's out there in your Provo, Utah. And I know a couple of people, WordPress folks, out in the Salt Lake City, Provo, Utah area. So I know they usually have a work camp in the Salt Lake City area. So if I could just get over this flying thing, I could fly out there and go to that event and meet up with my parents and do all of that stuff and check out Utah. But, you know, it was kind of sad to see them go, but a great opportunity for my family, and they get to check out a new place. So,
LoopConf was out there last year. LoopConf will be there this coming year for 2018 too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because LoopConf was going to be held in the South. I think it was one of the events canceled by the hurricane. Right? There's a hurricane plus work camp Orlando. Orlando? I think it was Orlando. It's canceled by a hurricane, so they had it in Salt Lake City, which, you know, from based on what I've heard, LoopConf was an awesome time there. At Salt Lake at that time of year. So anyways, that's where we were at. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about all things WordCamp. So you know who we have on the show today, the one and only Andrew Middleton. But before we get into that, I do have a couple housekeeping notes to take care of. First off, I want to send a shout out to Cody Landefeld, who we had on the show back on episode 282. And he recently got in touch with me, and he told me that people are still reaching out to him or inquiring to him to do WooCommerce work. They heard him on the show, episode 282. So he's very appreciative of that. And thanks to all our listeners who've been reaching out to him for WooCommerce work. So I was talking to him, and he's going to be our WooCommerce correspondent. So anytime there's a new major release of WooCommerce out there, or anytime we want to talk about anything under the sun about WooCommerce, I imagine he's going to be at WooConf, so he'll be on the ground for us, and we'll get a live report for him on the following episodes. But he's going to be our correspondent, so that's pretty cool. Kind of, you know, it's like an official word, correspondent. It's like a media organization. So, you know, it's kind of an upgrade for us around here. And, John, we actually got a new review. It's a 5-star. So tell us what Mr. Jake R. Evans has to say about what we do here on a weekly basis.
Jake R. Evans, he says, I look forward to this podcast every week. As a WordPress plugin author and someone who focuses on providing WordPress services to clients, it's nice to hear about some of the current events and news surrounding the WordPress community, presented in a down-to-earth, entertaining, and friendly way. Good job. That's awesome. That was really nice. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a great review. What do you think a show would sound like if we're presenting information that was not down to Earth? I mean, what would it be like? Down to Mars? Down to Pluto? No, I don't know. I mean,
is this you trolling me for our
viewers, Jeff? Stop it. That was
I think this is Jeff trolling me for like the time until I make a joke.
I don't think that's going to result in a lot more good comments.
I'm trying to make John feel uncomfortable. Thanks a lot, Jake, for the review. We really appreciate it. And again, if any of our listeners out there, please tell us what you think of the show. 1-star, 5-star, doesn't matter. Just be honest with us, and we'll read it on the show. Thank you very much for taking the time out to review, and glad you enjoy what we talk about here, our banter on a weekly basis. But what we're going to get into is not banter. It's very serious. We have Andrea Middleton on the show. She resides...
Fun's over, folks.
She resides in Portland, Oregon. She's a .org wrangler at Automatic. She supports the WordPress community, organizers helping them plan community events, meetups, work camps, and more that inspire people to do more with WordPress, connect to WordPress community, and contribute to the WordPress project. Andrea, thanks a lot for being on the show once again. Lucky you.
Lucky.
Now, look, things are burning up on the West Coast. It's bad out there. So I want to ask how are you doing? How's your family? Are you safe?
Yeah, we're safe. We live a good, I'd say, hour from where the fires are raging right now. I do know people who are in a phase one evacuation area, which means that they have to be ready to evacuate Troutdale, which is like Portland, basically. So that's a little scary. But the wind shifted to this morning a little bit. We have a chance of rain tomorrow. The kids were out early yesterday because of the high heat and ash just falling from the sky all over Portland. It almost looked like snowflakes, like those really tiny, like crystallized snowflakes that you get, like when it's like really dry snow. And it really freaky. I lived here. I'm old enough to have been a child when Mount St. Helens blew, and it's not as much ash, but it reminds me a lot of that. Almost 10,000 acres are burning right now in Oregon, and it jumped the Columbia, and it's in Washington now, too.
That's scary.
Boy, for an area, the Pacific Northwest is always known for, you know, rain. Like, it's wet up there. It's always raining, but now it's like everything's on fire.
We do have a fire season, unfortunately. It stops raining between like July 4th and like September 1st. Those are our two dry months. And so, yeah, the firecracker throwing kids found us in the wrong time. But a lot of people are having to evacuate. But so far, I don't know. There's nothing really that great about it other than I'm very lucky because it's not affecting me as far as having to leave the house.
Glad to hear that you're safe.
I'd also like to shout out to my friends in the U.S. Virgin Islands where I lived for about 5 years, which is being pummeled by Irma right now. A Cat 5 hurricane, which they have experience with. So I hope they're all staying really safe too. It's been a rough couple of weeks for weather-based disasters.
Yeah, no kidding.
Indeed. So we have a lot to talk about today as it relates to WordCamps and events and controversy. You know, we'll get into some of that controversy. I love controversy with Andrea. It's the best. So we'll start off here. In February 2016, the WordPress Foundation, which it was known at the time, created a WordCamp incubator program to help spread WordPress to underserved areas through providing more significant organizing support for a first event. So we had WordCamp Harare in Zimbabwe and WordCamp Denpasar. Okay, Denpasar. In Bali. There were successful events based on the program. So I was wondering if what can you tell us about the results of the incubator program?
You forgot one.
Which one?
WordCamp Medellin.
Which one was?
WordCamp Medellin.
There we go.
The one I was on.
Yeah. There's three. Three events. Okay. So tell us the results of the program and will it continue?
So the results of the program were really, I thought, very, very positive. We did have three new WordCamps in places where I'm fairly certain we wouldn't have had WordCamps without having the incubator program. And without having community team members working directly with the organizers. Two out of three of those cities are already in planning for their second WordCamp and have active meetups that are continuing. And so that, you know, meets our goal for the incubator program for sure. The Medellin community is not currently in pre-planning for a WordCamp, although Bogota just had an event this last weekend, which is exciting. So the Colombian community overall is growing, and the Medellin community is continuing to do meetups, but some of the main organizers moved out of the city, so they're experiencing some shifting there. I think it was a really successful program. It was a lot of time investment. When we're looking at the next iteration of the program, we'll definitely be looking at like how we can share that out or manage it better. I have a draft post that I started before my vacation. I just came back from my vacation. This is my first day back. And that I'm going to be looking at again early this month with a proposal for the 2.0 version of the incubator program to start in 2018. So
personally, it's got to feel like wonderful to start off with this idea, this incubator program, and actually see it be successful. And I have at least two of these cities that had their first camps now working on their second one. Mm-hmm. Now that they have that nucleus in place, that's got to be a really cool feeling to see that all evolve and take place and happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, full credit should go to Jen Milo, whose idea it originally was, and who put it out there. And then other people certainly continued to work on the program, as did I. But yeah, it's super exciting to see how well it worked out. And I have to say, one of the things that I'm particularly excited about I think the very fact of opening an application somehow separate from our regular application saying, we're Camp Incubator, try it out. We got a huge number of responses. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was large. And a lot of those people, the response that we sent them was, you know, you already have all the things you need to organize your WordCamp. Just do it. And we had, and I called it the, you know, you had the power all along, Dorothy, you know, like from the end of the response. It was my pre-death. And it's, I think just having the program resulted in an extra like 3 to 5 other That's WordCamps cool. where people just kind of didn't know that they could go ahead and organize an event. So that was really exciting too.
So WordCamp Europe this year tried a new experiment where they offered these things called sponsor workshops, which is like a separate track with speakers from companies that sponsor the event. Have you heard any feedback from organizers or attendees on how this experiment was received?
I am so interested to find out how that turned out. No, I haven't, but I really want to know. I heard varying responses. Like some sponsors told me that their session was packed. I heard some other anecdotal information, which may have been incorrect, that a couple of sessions were not packed. And I haven't, and I asked the organizers, like, please, 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 I want some data on this so we can find out, like, what the response was and how to, you know, take this in the future. TLDR, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to finding out, and of course, we'll post that publicly so that everyone...
No, regarding these sponsor workshops and that idea and that experiment, is those being possible a direct result of changing the financial status from the WordPress Foundation? I believe it's WordPress Community Support now.
WordPress Community Support. Yeah, the foundation has a corporate subsidiary called WordPress Community Support. It's a public benefit corporation. In the United States, you can have a nonprofit that owns a for-profit company. Weird, right? But it's true. and so it's for profit, but the profit is for the public good. So it's all reinvested into community events. But we pay taxes on it. So yeah, that simplifies our relationship with sponsors, because the IRS has very strict rules about what you can and can't do for your sponsors if they're donating money to your nonprofit. To some extent, yes, it's possible. I mean, we could have argued with the IRS, like, oh, these aren't like sponsored comment. It's just a public space where people can go if they want to go. The IRS might have argued back against us. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if we had wanted to do this when we were operating through the 501c3, it would have been a lot more complicated. It's very uncomplicated working through the corporate subsidiary. So, you know, and for programming purposes, we definitely avoid any sense of like sponsorship gets you a speaking slot at a WordCamp relationship. Like we ask all of our organizers to have a super strong firewall there. We also ask our sponsors like not to push a quid pro quo, like, oh, I'd be happy to sponsor if I'm speaking at your event and stuff like that. Like that's not the relationship we want with our sponsors. But having information presented at a community event that is being presented from a perspective of like, I work for this company and I endorse this company, has always been within our kind of set of expectations, as long as it's transparent and clear. Like, it's, you know, and hopefully, you know, we don't end up with a lot of people wanting, you know, generally speaking, WordCamp attendees and WordPress community members generally aren't big on sales pitches. So generally, sponsors that come into our space and are looking for like an opportunity to do a pitch, even if they can get it, it doesn't do good for them because our people don't like that. So so we try to move people away from that, both because we don't really like a salesy kind of a commercial feel at a community event, but also because it doesn't work out for the sponsor. So why bother? And so what I liked about the way that WordCamp Europe handled this is it was more in the realm of like, here is a workshop, here's an informational opportunity to like learn more about this thing that happens to be our product, and we are the people mm-hmm. who sell this product or provide this product or whatever. I'd look forward to finding out the results from the sponsors.
Just to give the listeners some of the workshop sessions are like from Plus, they did a day in the life of a WordPress client, or Mojo Marketplace, creating a WordPress theme for the masses, or Jetpack, WordPress.com and WordPress.org, the same but different, or even WooCommerce, intro to WooCommerce. So, you know, you had different workshops like that, which, you know, again, kind of acted like a separate track. And I even heard from somebody who checked in on those throughout the day, and they said there were people in there and they liked how the information was being presented. It wasn't just, maybe an hour-long commercial for whatever it is they were talking about, but it was generally great information that you would find from just a normal speaker in a different track at a different WordCamp.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the right way to approach that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So speaking of experiments, WordCamp US this year is going to feature something called a Community Bazaar. What's the inspiration behind that idea, if you know, and kind of tell us a little bit about what's happening there?
I confess, I'm not on the organizing team of WordCamp US, so I am not 1,000% up to date in all of the developments there, and I've been gone for 10 days. So, but my impression of the Community Bazaar, which I think is a really cool idea, is that we are the vision I have of it when somebody explains it to me is like, oh, it's like a science fair for communities, you know, and I envision like the folio set up for something. But I love the idea of getting more visibility for our local communities and the organizers thereof. It is amazing how many people show up to a WordCamp who don't know that there is a monthly meetup. Sure. The city that is hosting the WordCamp. And certainly with an event like WordCamp US, where a lot of people come from all over the country, or all over the world even, because maybe they're looking for a specific big event, or they want to see Matt speak or something like that, to be able to send them home with the knowledge of like, oh, and there's also a monthly meetup, and I just met Julia and she organizes it and it sounds great and I'm going to get involved, that, you know, that really delivers on the promise of a WordPress event creating more connections with people.
Yeah, in fact, I interviewed Raquel Landefeld, who was on one of the organizing members of this bazaar, and she pretty much gave the description you just said, where it's like a science fair, where you might have a billboard or an area where you can really show off, give the inside scoop on your WordPress community. And I think that'll be pretty cool to browse around, to check out the different areas, different ones that are featured. And, you know, I was kind of hoping, and I don't know if there's a way to track this, but one of the last major versions of WordPress that was released added in the dashboard news widget. Now you could see, if you type in a city, if there's a local WordPress event near you, whether it be a WordCamp or a meetup. And I've actually heard from quite a few people that widget has actually come in handy to let them know of something that they didn't know existed, where there's a meetup in their area coming up when they type in their city. So it'd be great some way we could track. Usually at every state of the word, there are these metrics that are given out with meetups and attendees and how many people were new. And, you know, it'd be cool to find out how much influence that particular news widget has had on increasing those numbers throughout the world for meetups.
Yeah, we're looking at those figures really closely. And certainly if Matt wants to include that on State of the Word, we'll be excited to provide that information. He does like to do a little kind of a community roundup at the beginning of the State of the Word. So it's possible that you'll see a figure in there.
All right. Let's dive deep into one of these subjects here that there's been many deep subjects talked about. But let's talk about something called regional WordCamps. These are events that represent a geographical community larger than one city or metro area. And I believe one of the catalysts for having this discussion was WordCamp Netherlands. So why was the discussion necessary and why was it had on the Make Community site? And were there any results of this discussion? You know, one of the things that fascinated me about it is the definition of a regional WordCamp. And we talk about area, landmass, size, different cities, how many WordCamps. It's like all these different variables. Like boggles my mind at how, you know, you could ever come up with something that defines a regional WordCamp. So tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that discussion and some of the takeaways from it.
Oh gosh. You know what? Geography is super hard. like taking an event program and then exporting it not only to multiple different cultures, but then also to and where everybody like takes in the event brand and framework and then like translates it into their own local culture and framework and language and everything. And then you combine that with geography and it gets so complicated. Globalizing this program is probably the biggest challenge that I have past 6 years, both from a culture as well as from a geographic standpoint. But yeah, I mean, certainly the Netherlands was one of the data points in this kind of set of discussions we've been having about regional WordCamps. WordCamp Nordic, that was a proposed event that was, was another data point. People have been talking about
it. I think there was one called WordCamp Croatia, right?
There was a WordCamp Croatia, so maybe I should go way in the way back machine. come with me. So it used to be that, of course, there was no WordCamp program. There were just people who decided they wanted to organize an event and call it a WordCamp. And so way back before my tenure on the WordPress project. And then what we discovered is a lot of people were going to WordCamps and maybe having not a great experience or a really confusing experience. And so we said, well, and then thinking that WordPress was that experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was affecting how people thought of WordPress when they were going to events that had a lot of variation in style and focus and goals and et cetera. So we created the WordCamp program. Again, not me, Jen Milo, Matt Mullenweg, and a number of other people created a set of expectations in like 2010. And one of them was that WordCamps would be local, organized by local people. And this was in some part to avoid kind of a squatter kind of WordCamp. Like, oh, I think it would be cool to organize a WordCamp in, Morocco. I happen to live in Dayton, Ohio, but I want to go to Morocco and I want to organize a WordCamp there. And I'm going to represent the WordPress community of Morocco from Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, I am. And I have a URL, so now I'm official. So, like, we were partly trying to avoid that. by asking, you know, organize it locally. If you live there, you can organize something there. If you want to see an event in a place you don't live, I don't know what to tell you. Organize an event where you are or move to that other place or encourage those other people, right? And then we also had some problems with, so not only WordCamp squatting, right? But also like WordCamp, like country ownership, where someone would say, I organize WordCamps in, need to use a country where we've never had a WordCamp before.
Well, there used to be a WordCamp Hawaii.
There was for like a year or two. How about WordCamp Uruguay? I'm going to organize the first event in Uruguay. We're going to call it WordCamp Uruguay. And then what we found is that that most of the people in the country thought, oh, okay, well, I don't need to organize a WordCamp in my city in Uruguay because there's already a WordCamp Uruguay and it's in Montevideo. And so there's no room for me in this program because somebody already claimed that event, right? Mm. And so we brought down the local down to city-based because we want to provide a lot of leadership opportunities for everyone who wants to organize an event in their region, right? We want the maximum number of events possible locally so that people can, so that WordCamps are more plentiful and therefore more accessible and more inclusive of everyone in the program. Or you who uses WordPress. Where it gets complicated is when you have little countries like that are either small geographically or small population wise. And it also gets complicated when people want to, for whatever reason, for the best intentions or for the worst intentions, be the organizers of an event that is named after their country. because taking that away is really hard. So and our you know, our/my implementation of that, you know, like don't call it country thing really evolved and changed over the years. But starting in 2016, starting in 2015, we started trying to reduce the number of variable you know, country-based WordCamps. In 2016, we said, okay, now stop, the end. And then 2017, of course, hit the WordCamp Netherlands would-be organizers, and there was an argument that got super public and,
oh, yeah.
And fairly rancorous.
That gave
luckily,
us some page views.
The WordPress community in the Netherlands did not die. We are going to see, hopefully, I think, 3 WordCamps in the Netherlands this year, and hopefully a city-based or country-based regional WordCamp we'll see for next year, assuming all goes well.
So this, and I love how you gave the brief history about how the organization and guidelines and rules came to be, because that answers the question, John, why we have rules in the first place.
Oh,
I had to bring it up.
So yeah, I mean, I had left a few comments back and forth as politely, you know, as we can. Yeah. Like the regions are really hard in general. Like defining a region, what does it mean? It is ambiguous across the board, and that's not just geographically, but also, like you said, culturally, and it doesn't. It's too free, right? It's too free to be useful to call it a region. So, I'm glad that everything with the Netherlands and everything else has worked out and everyone's happy and moving forward. I mean, that's really the best possible scenario for everyone and all things, and particularly with WordCamps, because we're all trying to have fun and do the same thing around this with the same sort of goals in mind. And so, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I firmly believe that as long as we keep talking to each other, mm-hmm. and that we can always work things out. Like if the answer is no one day, if we keep talking, the answer might be yes later. It may be that by talking about stuff, we find a way to a direction that we can go that's between no and yes, that meets both parties. But yeah, I mean, I think the Netherlands is a great example of if we keep communication open, we can move forward together if we just keep talking. It's when we stop talking that things get really complicated and hard.
Which, by the way, huge kudos to you and the people on the Make community team for continuing to have this open dialogue with the WordPress community and the Make community on the blog and the site, creating these articles and these topics for discussion where a central location can be had for the different arguments or opinions, suggestions, thoughts on certain things. A lot of this stuff was taking place on Twitter, and a lot of things can get lost very easily on Twitter. But it's great to see some of you folks like keep on the pulse of things that the WordPress community are talking about when it comes to WordCamps and events, and actually housing that discussion on a place where it makes total sense to have that discussion on the Make community website. So kudos to you folks for continuing to have that open dialogue with the community.
Thanks. It's important. I mean, we don't do this because we want less community involvement.
Yeah, I guess that'd be the total opposite of, you know, why the team exists.
It's the opposite of what we want, for the record. And yeah, I mean, it really, I know sometimes when people don't, just like in WordPress core, right? If you don't get your desired outcome, what you can take away from that is, oh, my voice doesn't matter. Which is, that always kills me inside because I'm like, no, it's the wrong lesson. you might not have gotten what you wanted this time, but if you don't speak up and participate and say something, then nobody knows what, you know, you're not representing your opinion. So, and that's really when it doesn't matter, is when nobody says it because then nobody knows. Right. So, yeah, I encourage everybody to join in the conversations because they really, 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 impact, the decision that the community organizers and the global community team takes.
At the beginning of this year, there was a discussion held around the topic of paying for speaker travel. And thoughts and opinions were shared far and wide on this subject, especially on Twitter. I had a few of my own, something I've been thinking about for a while. Has there been a final decision to pay for a speaker's travel, or what were some of the things that you saw come out of this discussion?
I love this discussion, by the way. This is one of my favorites.
You talk first, John.
Oh, well, I mean, it's in if we're giving a history lesson, right? There were definitely older style WordCamps where in a period of time in my career where I would love to come and speak, but I just don't have the $1,000 right now free and open to afford a hotel and the flights and food and everything. And so some sort of travel assistance would definitely make that a lot easier to have pulled off. And so, I mean, back then that was a really nice thing to have as an option, or even as having ran a few or helped co-event plan WordCamps of my own, where having that as an option way back in the day was kind of nice to be able to say, well, we'd love to have you and we get where you're at and we have some room to be able to help get you here if this is a place that you really want to be and this is a community that you used to be a part of or whatever. So I totally get. And then there's the argument of, like, if we want top tier talent or we want to up the ante for WordCamp talks and make them more, you know, professional or whatever else, that you start to have people take it more seriously, they need to be compensated in some way. And so then I start to go, well, that's not really the goal, though, I don't think. The goal isn't to attract the best people to speak at every single WordCamp every weekend all around the world all the time. The goal is to have there are many goals, but one of the goals, the primary goal, is to get your local people to share what it is that they're doing with WordPress. The other part of that might be to completely let someone who's never given a talk before in their life a place to try and give a talk about the cool thing that you're doing that's WordPress related. It's like the barrier for entry has always been and should kind of remain low, even if the expectations for what happens while you're on stage and what you do can potentially be higher than normal. So I don't know. I think the freedom to offer that was nice, but it's not an entitlement, I don't think, not for a WordCamp type event, at least the way that I've always imagined them and held them in my heart. But I get where people are coming from, where they want to see better, they want to see better talks or talks that are more geared toward them or whatever. But I don't know if all we want is bigger, better all the time, and we have to start paying for speakers in every event, we'll just bankrupt ourselves paying for speakers that aren't even really talking about the stuff that they're doing with WordPress anymore. So slippery slope.
That's one of my fears, is that if we got to a situation where we have all these WordCamps across the world, and if we're going to start paying speakers, you know, every one of them, boy, that sounds like a huge increased cost to run the event. And next thing you know, we're jacking up ticket prices.
Let's say 50% of the talks are paid talks. Then that means that if they're all expert public speakers, then that means 50% of audiences will have fewer to no attendance, because everyone's going to go see the professional speakers that give amazing presentations and talks. And so not only have you like alienated the 50% of applicants who now don't get to speak because professionals are, you're alienating the other 50% of speakers who are giving talks in a separate track against professional speakers. Like, the slippery slope is real slanty. Is it better in general?
It's greasy. It's not just muddy. It's like greased.
Yeah.
When we talk about big topics like this, I find that it's always helpful to come back to some basic expectations around the event is. For one thing, we always model ourselves as much as possible after the WordPress project in general, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're making program decisions, what we look for is how well does this fit in to the way the WordPress project as a whole operates, right? Because WordCamps and meetups are extensions of the WordPress project, and our organizers are contributing to the WordPress project by creating events where people can, this is the other thing, the basic expectations, connect, inspire each other and get inspired and contribute to WordPress, right? So those are our three goals mm-hmm. when we're organizing a community event. And so within those three goals in a community event, I think that John's right in that we, you know, having highly polished, possibly professional speakers has never been a really for us, because participation tends to be more of it has been higher on the priority list than a certain level or style of presentation, right? We look for people who can help create connections within the community by sharing their own personal experiences with WordPress. And what we found is that, you know, rock star speakers tend not to create those community much as the person down the road who figured out a neat way to use this WooCommerce extension. And, you know, you see her, you know, walking her dog in the morning and you're like, dang it, I walk my dog in the morning. If you know, Karen can figure out how to find a solution using WordPress, dang it, I can too, you know, like that. And if I run into problems, I can chase her down and say, hey, Karen, how did you do that again? You know, like that by having a strongly local list of speakers, you connections within your community that helps the community grow and continues to be a resource for the rest of the community. Now, of course, on that list of three goals, inspiration is one of them. Inspiring speakers. But again, and the program generally leans toward the inspiration of the common person's experience rather than being inspired by someone who jets in from halfway across the globe, gives a talk, and then debts away, right? Because one thing that we have found really keeps people in the program and in the project is when they can find a person that's like them, that they can then kind of model after and maybe become a buddy of and think, oh, well, you know, if John figured it out, I can figure it out too, you know, someone like them. And so while, of course, it's really...
Oh,
me too. How does he make
if he can figure stuff out, I can too. not really.
I know.
But the whole thing on... You know, the thing I was thinking of is, well, what if – I think other events – I think Drupal, for DrupalCon and the events they have, I think they pay for speakers or they provide a way to reimburse speakers. I might have to be correct in that. I'm not sure what they do for Joomla World. And I know other events provide a way, especially the higher up corporate events where there's like $600 ticket prices. Mm-hmm. I think they compensate speakers for their travels. But in the WordPress space, if we made a decision to start paying for speakers, what does that say to the organizers, the people who can sometimes put in hours and hours of time and effort into running these events to make sure they're smooth? I mean, why wouldn't we end up paying them too? I mean, they're just as valuable as the speakers, in my opinion.
It also raises the question for me of why aren't we paying people who volunteer in the support forums and who are contributing code to WordPress?
Yeah. Let's bankrupt WordPress.
If people participating in events are receiving compensation in some way, then it really begs the question, why are we compensating those contributions to WordPress and not other contributions to WordPress?
Right.
And that's why I think thinking about stuff like this within the context of the greater open source project is vital, because it really creates an imbalance there, you know. Now, I mean, Morten Rand Hendrickson, whom I very much admire and adore, raised a really good point on Twitter, gosh, what was that, like a month or so ago, where by retweeting another person's comment that one way that is really important to address diversity and inclusion in a speaker roster is to provide travel assistance or some kind of financial assistance to people who are representing or who are members of underrepresented groups in tech. Not coming at the speaker remuneration or speaker travel assistance, or any kind of financial assistance from the perspective of like, hey, what you're doing for the program is more important than what John's doing for the program, so we're going to give you money and not John. Not coming at it from that perspective, but coming at it from the perspective of like, okay, well, you have some barriers to participation that John does not have, and we want to even that playing field a little bit. And so providing some level of financial support to members of underrepresented groups in tech to aid their participation and help facilitate their participation in our events program or in other programs, you know, there are various mentorship and internship programs available in open source. Outreachy is a great one.
WordCamp US kind of does this already with one particular group of people with the Kim Parcell Travel Scholarship,
right?
Yeah, the Kim Parcell Travel Scholarship is a good example of a diversity focused travel assistance program that provides travel assistance to a woman. Mm-hmm. Ordinarily attend the event in the memory of Kim Parcell, whom we still miss very much. I mean, that's a model that could be expanded. It's hard to administrate.
It reminds me of there's an organization called Games Done Quick, and so they'll do speed running of video games, and they'll do During the summer, they'll do summer games done quick, and they'll raise money for Doctors Without Borders or something else. And so in the speed running video game community, there are rock stars. There are people who are the best at playing some specific game in an hour or less. And they're not necessarily sponsored by a video game company or, you know, Mountain Dew or something, right? Like they may or may not be professional video game players, and they may or may not be really experienced in what they do, or they may be an up and comer or something else. But a lot of the times, in order to go and play and stream online at a Games Done Quick event, they've got to pack up all their stuff in a car and drive for 30 hours to get there, or they've got to find someone or go on Patreon and raise some money, or they've got to figure out how it is that they're going to go and get involved. Like, they're involved in recording or in the organization all year for several years, but they can't always go. And so there are a lot of similarities between something like what the folks at Games Done Quick do and how WordCamps and speakers and attendees and stuff kind of work, where a lot of these are just individuals that are trying to, they're really good at a certain thing, or they're specializing in one very specific thing. And generally what happens is the community rallies together and says, well, we'd really like to see this person play, and so let's raise the money that it's going to take to get this person there. Or they'll stream some stuff online independently on Twitch or something else, and then let people donate a couple of bucks here and a couple of bucks there, and they'll just save the money to get them there for the trip if that's really what they want to do. I mean, it's a little bit extra work, and but it is an investment in the thing that they like to do, or the personal brand that they're trying to build, or the business that they're trying to, whatever, right? It's the community tries to self-police itself and get the people where they want them if they really want them there badly enough. So, and at the same time, there are
crowdfunding has certainly been.
Yep. And there's volunteers.
A successful method. Yeah.
They do audio. They do the video. They do the streaming. There are people that are at the desk running the events and doing people sitting on the couch doing the commentary. And there are all these other volunteers that are running around like crazy for a week long event. But are they not getting paid? Most of them are volunteers. Most of them are doing it because they love it, and choosing to pay them. I mean, would it be cool to have that be your full-time job? Probably would be pretty awesome. But if there isn't the money or budget or support or whatever the donated funds behind it, then it's just not the right time yet. And so if it becomes the right time, you might be able to make it the right time by doing so good, like that it becomes a job. The WordCamp Foundation is a thing that, because WordCamps were so good, and they were so good for the software, they were so good for the community and participation, and they were good for sharing what everyone was working on, that the foundation itself and WordCamps in general was an organization that it earned its lumps. It had to be a thing because it had gone through all of the work and the discovery process of saying, we need more resources here. We need more volunteers. We need more help. And eventually we'll need a full-time person maybe to staff some of this stuff, or two or three or however many. And if it's successful, then it just grows.
So John, what do you do for a living? I'm a motivational speaker for WordCamps. is that going to be on your bio anytime soon?
It depends on who I'm motivating, right? I don't know.
He has a very motivating story. Get John to tell you how he got involved in the community at some point. It's a very good story.
Oh.
So, Andrea, there's an event that happened about 2 weekends ago, the first WordCamp for Publishers in Denver, Colorado.
Yes.
Wondering if you can tell us anything about that. I
don't know anything about it. Okay.
Mike Schenk was based in the Atlanta area, and he said it was the best WordPress event he's ever attended. So I'm hoping to get a guest post from him on that. He's been very busy with clients to get his experience. But I've also heard from many other people as well that it was a very well-run event for it being the first time.
I've heard the same thing.
Well, I know that a number of the organizers are super smart, dedicated people, so that doesn't surprise me a lot. I'm sure they put a lot of hard work into the event. And it's exciting to see. I've been talking to people for years about single subject focused WordCamps, or single kind of market focused WordCamps, WordCamps for developers.
It seems like there's still this mindset out there that WordCamps are just, you got to have certain tracks. It's got to be about WordPress. And, you know, and hopefully these events like WordCamp for Publishers opens up people's mind. And I've been preaching this forever that you and the folks behind the WordPress community support are very much open to ideas of having WordCamps or using WordPress in specific ways, whether that's, I don't know, higher education or enterprise or mm-hmm. something that's yeah. that's focused on a particular subject, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people, you know, a lot of people's impressions of the program are based on word of mouth and their own observations. And so a lot of times we're not as we focus so much on our current organizers that we have a hard time like getting the word out to possible future organizers about possibilities or even our repeat organizers about possibilities. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, when we want to do it intentionally and make sure that we, you know, hold on to our base level set of expectations for the WordCamp brand. I mean, obviously we're not going to have a WordCamp focused with that does not have a WordPress focus, for example. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm really excited to see people play with the model and expand kind of our list of things that we do, because we have a lot of really great experienced organizers who and WordPress is based on a ship then iterate approach, right? Again, we're going back to like how we do things in the overall project is how we try to do stuff in the Global Community Teams program. So yeah, I love seeing us iterate.
Yeah. How about this idea, a WordCamp for WordCamp organizers?
It's under discussion. Come on over to the Make Community site. Talk it out.
And I know that's why I brought it up. It was a segue. But that's kind of cool to see. And it's kind of cool to just, okay, so you have this idea and just put it out there on the Make Community site and just see what other people think. And how could we tie this in? And how can we make it reproducible? You know, that's also an mm-hmm. important part of these other new events is how can we have other organizers who are interested in these events reproduce it in their area?
Yeah. But I think now is finally the time to do these things. Like
how many years have there been WordCamps now? 7, 8?
Oh, goodness.
2005.
Okay.
No, 2006. 2006, so 11.
But like my most memorable WordCamp was still BuddyCamp in Vancouver, right? It was WordCamp and BuddyCamp in Vancouver. It was like one of my fondest that I enjoyed the most. And I honestly wasn't even 100% in support of doing a BuddyCamp back then. Like it still felt really premature to me.
You didn't tell me that, John.
I mean, I want for everyone to be able to explore all these ideas, but it still felt a little premature. Like I would have rather had a plugin or community or membership focused WordCamp instead. But it was like at the time, BuddyPress was had a huge amount of momentum and everyone was using it for a lot of really cool and interesting things. And so if someone really wanted to try and do an event around it, sure. Like we have the freedom to experiment with some of this stuff now, but, the focused WordCamps now, I think, start to match a little bit more of the way that I had always kind of imagined for these things to go. Where you've got maybe a WordCamp for publishers specifically, which the feedback on seemed hugely positive, but a WordCamp for plugin developers or a WordCamp for themes or a WordCamp for membership software. Like there are enough an entire e-commerce, like not just a WooCamp, but like an entire e-commerce focused one where there are so many other places and directions where this could start to focus out. But back in 2011 or whenever the BuddyCamp Vancouver was, 12 maybe? I don't know when that would have been.
12.
I mean, that was 5 years ago. That was like a hyper-focused BuddyCamp specific, BuddyPress specific camp 5 years ago was like a, it was a big deal. And so I wasn't going to say no to it, but my opinion still was like, maybe it's a little early to start forking the WordCamp to apply it to something else. Dave
Baker, you never said anything. I mean,
well, it's like WordCamp Miami. David and their team, they still do a buddy camp style thing or a track every year, uh-huh. And I'll go and support it. I love it. I love the idea, and that there's always maybe 100 people or so that fly in or that show up just for the buddy press portion alone. It's about participation for me. So if people learn about Buddy Press because they come to the WordCamp from membership sites, seems like a more valuable, there might be higher retention there than the people who are like, oh, I've heard of Buddy Press, let me come to the camp because I'm curious about it. Because there's Buddy Press is only one aspect of how membership sites work. There are a million other parts that go with it. So to leave it being Buddy Press to Buddy Press specific, I think closes the doors to a lot of other potential participation or speakers or contributions or something else. So
that makes sense. Get it. Yeah.
So what's next then?
October 2012, that's when Buddy Camp in Vancouver took place. I know there's a dedicated team of people on the Meta team who are working on improvements to WordCamp.org, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of share what some of the improvements that have gone on the WordCamp.org website, maybe some things that are going on behind the scenes in terms of organization.
Oh, good gosh. Remember, John, when you were one of the people who kept WordCamp.org going?
Those were fun times for me.
In 2011, when we only had one theme that everyone had to use.
I remember that. Do you remember when WordCamp.org was separate logins because it wasn't actually connected to WordPress.org at all yet? Yeah, those were fun times.
Yes, I do. That was so hard. So let's see. Well, we continue to make lots of improvements to WordCamp.org every single week, although lately we've been mostly focused on maintenance because we're a little bit short on developers right now. Come participate and contribute to the Meta team. We have tickets waiting for you. You too, John.
But not a lot of bandwidth.
The problem. We've had some great contributions to WordCamp.org over the past year or two. WordCamp Europe donated a really cool theme that I'm not sure how many people are using right now, but I'm excited to see how that goes forward. You know, I mean, people choose their theme early, and so like theme adoption is kind of cyclical. Since when? Let's see. In the beginning of 2016, we really expanded our set of plugins that help our organizers of WordCamps keep track of money. And we created a dedicated plugin just for reimbursement requests. We have a dedicated plugin just for vendor payments. And then we have a dedicated plugin just for creating sponsor invoices and sending them out. And all of these connect with our systems because if you don't already know, one of the things that the global community does is it is both the accounts payable and the accounts receivable department for the majority of WordCamps all over the world. And so we bring the money in, we pay the money, and we keep everyone's finances running, which is a not small task. And then we also created a new way to keep organizers' budgets in the spreadsheet, or budget spreadsheets actually in the site, so you don't have to share Google documents all over the place. We have a really cool Docs plugin that helps organizers who need to create like a visa letter or a sponsorship agreement now. That's one of our more recent announcements, is we added sponsorship agreement templates to that documents plugin where you just type in all of the, you put information in a meta field, and it creates a PDF for you of the sponsorship agreement and stuff like that. I have a little ticket on the meta track. I'm just going to sell it one more time, that I'd love to have somebody work on, to make it easier for our European organizers to provide ticket invoices, for their attendees. Currently that's entirely manual, and that's a huge job for our European contributors, and organizers, but, And hopefully very soon we'll start working on the automation of reports so we can share more information in a more transparent way on how the program is running, and provide that on make.wordpress.org/community. So that's our next big priority, is automating the reporting.
Is there a section on wordcamp.org that other organizers can venture into to tap into resources that have been shared by organizers from other WordCamps? Like, for example, David Bissett open sourced, I think it's a Photoshop file with layers, the happiness bar candy bar wrapper. So if you're going to order candy bar swags that says happiness bar on it, you could do that. It's free and available. You just download the image and you can alter it if you want. But that's like a resource that could be listed on WordCamp.org. And I'm not really aware of many of the other contributions back to that other organizers can use as well. But, you know, maybe if that's not there, I guess that's an idea. Oh God, maybe that's the way I can.
It is. I would like to have a design repo. I would really like to have a design repo somewhere on Make Community where people can just drop their badge templates and
badge template generator.
You know. Yeah, well, we do actually have a tool now to generate badge templates, so that's exciting. But just designs, like, I would love it. And we also have the CSS copy tool where you can basically clone another WordCamp site and kind of use their design and then iterate on it, which I think is also really neat. Shout out to Ian Dunn, who I believe built that all by himself. In the grand tradition of developers on WordCamp.org working unfortunately all by themselves. Which John knows intimately.
Some things never change.
They really don't, unfortunately. Soon they will. I would love us to get some kind of more reliable method of sharing those design files, because not everybody has designers just, you know, hanging around asking to contribute in their communities. And so being able to swap those files and make them publicly available would be great.
And before we wrap it up here, because I know you're a very busy gal, but I got to ask you this every time. Has there been any more development or work on the idea of an official WordCamp app, WordCamp mobile app?
No.
Okay. Now that we have a RESTful API in WordPress core, there's an opportunity there for anyone to make their own version of a WordCamp mobile app using the free and open API that is available from central.wordcamp.org and any of the surrounding sites on that multi-site installation.
John James?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like John just volunteered.
A WordCamp app is not something that's super high on the priority list right now. The focus of the global community team is twofold. One, to make events easier to organize, and two, to make events better for attendees. Certainly a WordCamp app could be filed under the second column. But generally, the way we've gone is to try to focus on making our sites as mobile friendly as possible, as responsive as possible, because that then doesn't focus our development time just on people with smartphones, but makes our development time useful, or give dividends for all of the people using the WordCamp site. So, just like WordPress in general, the project in general, we are not tripping over mobile developers every time we turn around a corner. So to some extent, it's based on what contributors we have who are willing to put in the time.
And last but not least, how can people get involved with the community team?
So many ways. Well, you can attend a local meetup. You can volunteer to organize a local meetup. You could speak at a local meetup. You can tell somebody about a local meetup. You can retweet the tweets or share the Facebook posts of your local meetup. You can attend a WordCamp. You can write about a WordCamp. You can speak at a WordCamp. You can apply to organize a WordCamp. You can volunteer at a WordCamp. You can volunteer design, development, organizational stuff, marketing stuff, driving stuff around stuff. Like, there's lots of jobs available on WordCamp in event organizing, and a lot of people looking for help in all of those events. And you can also weigh in and participate on our community site, make.wordpress.org/community. And on that site as well, you'll see all of our handbooks, which have lots of information about our program and also how to get involved. And yeah, there are tons and tons of ways to get involved. You do not need to be an experienced event organizer. We specialize in an experienced event organizer. That's like our 95% of our market share. And you don't have to be an experienced speaker either. We have a lot of opportunities for people who just want to help and who are willing to put in the time and get involved.
Well, Angie, I want to thank you very much for being on the show again today. Give us the all-around update on things that have taken place within the past year. Again, very busy area over there at the Make Community site and forward camps of WordPress meetups, events in general. And John, I'll give you the last word here before we let Andrea go.
Oh, gosh. I mean, this reminds me of the days when we would sit in a hangout and co-work together just work on something together for the day. So it was...
John and I used to be on the same team, folks. Like, when I first joined Automatic, John was on my team. And yeah, those are good days.
Yeah, just open up a hangout and, you know, pretend like you're not sitting in the dining room alone around, going crazy. So this is good. We should do it again sometime soon. This is fun.
Excellent.
Thanks for being here. And thanks for hanging out and... I'm curious to see where regional WordCamps and specialty WordCamps and where WordCamp.org, where all these things go going forward. There's just so much more going on than there was when I was involved in it. There is a lot happening. So thanks for hanging out with us for a little while.
How could people keep tabs on you, Andrea, if people wanted to do that? I mean, that's not weird, is it?
It's a little bit weird. Not really weird at all. On Twitter, I'm at @AndMiddleton, and Middleton. I don't tweet a lot, but I'm out there. And then I'm, as mentioned, I'm quite active on the Make Community site and also in WordPress.org Slack. I'm Andrea Middleton, all one word, and I'm always in the community-events channel and the community-team channel, and I lurk at a couple other channels just to keep my hands in. Really
excited. Are there any WordPress events you plan on attending soon here?
Yes, I will be at WordCamp Toronto at the end of this month, and I will also be at WordCamp Seattle in November, beginning in November, and also at WordCamp US in Nashville. So lots of traveling this fall. It was a quiet summer, but we're getting started again.
Excellent. Again, thank you very much for being on the show. We'll have to have you on sometime real soon here. You know, it'd be great if we get you and Josefa Hayden on the show at the same time. I bet you that would be a party.
That would be a lot of
fun. It always is. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So again, I hope your family stays safe up there with the fires, and all the best to you, and keep up the great work, and thank you for everything you do for the WordPress community.
Thanks for having me, you all. I appreciate it.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Andrea Middleton, what a rock star and all-star for the WordPress community, helping WordPress event organizers to do what they do best, get the help spread the word of WordPress, mm-hmm. and create those awesome, memorable events. So there you have it, John. What a pretty much a great show. Before we wrap it up here, I wanted to there's not really anything newsworthy, Gutenberg, you know, big deal. No, I'm just kidding. But there's all kinds of stuff about Gutenberg we'll get into next week. Because it'll be a new show. We'll get you caught up on everything that's going on. But really, there's no earth-shattering news going on in the WordPress space right now. But you attended, speaking of WordPress events, you were at WordCamp Grand Rapids this past weekend.
Sure was.
Yep. A great city. I remember when I attended WordCamp there, a lot of friendly people. A great place to just walk around and hang out.
Gorgeous city.
You know, give us your review of WordCamp Grand Rapids this year.
Grand Rapids is interesting for me because I could take the ferry across Lake Michigan, but it would take an extra hour. I'm better off just driving around the lake than going straight across. And so I drove from where I live. It was about 4 hours. The drive was uneventful. The city was beautiful. All of the campus that it's on is absolutely gorgeous. And then every single session that I went to was really nicely done. The rooms are all awesome. I got to meet some people that I hadn't met before and got to hang out with a bunch of old friends that are from the area and the region. I like to hit up the Midwestern camps myself because they're intimate and smaller and a little bit, I don't know. I think that they're more fun, but it was great. It was, I think I've gone every year to Grand Rapids now, maybe 2 or 3 years. Maybe I missed one in the middle. I'm not really sure, but I feel like the only astonishing thing about Grand Rapids was Brian's Lego getting stolen afterwards.
Yeah, that was something.
The event was amazing, like it's always been amazing. And the organizing team did an outstanding job, and it was it went off without a hitch as far as I'm concerned. But
so and are there any candid WordPress conversations you could share with us on the air?
Other than talking to Sarah about Gutenberg for 6.5 minutes.
which listeners can view at their pleasure on WPTavid.com.
Then no, I talked with a couple of folks about some BuddyPress and BBPress things and got to see how someone was using BuddyPress in kind of an interesting way. But those are the things that were like, you know, I get pulled aside and someone wants to talk to me about. Other than that, nothing to leak anywhere in the show.
Did you go to Hot Cat and get crack fries?
No, but okay. I went to a brew pub that was in an old funeral home or an old funeral parlor.
Okay, this is my cringy face.
But it was beautiful. Like there was all. And so there's great beer in Grand Rapids, and so I got to enjoy some of that. Good company and friends, and you know, typical WordCamp rules apply. I feel like so it was a. I had a great time, and it seems like everybody else did too.
Fantastic. Well, again, those folks up in Grand Rapids know how to put on a stellar event, and it sounds like they did again this year in Grand Rapids. You know, like I said, great city, especially this time of year. So that's going to do it for this. I don't have any picks. Do you have any picks?
No,
I
mean, no okay. picks other than I'll be at WordCamp Ann Arbor, which is another Michigan.
Jeez, another Michigan one. That's another good area, another good city.
And that's close to you, isn't it? That's not too far of a drive for you.
Actually, it's not too far of a drive for me if I chose to go up there.
Maybe you should. Just saying.
Yeah. Who knows? We'll see.
Nope.
We'll see.
No pressure.
No pressure. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffR0, and John.
Follow me on GitHub at JJJ because I'm still trying not to tweet.
You're still doing the GitHub thing. Okay. All right. So you can follow him on GitHub. I'm sure that's fun. So that's going to do it for this episode. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Stay safe out there, especially the people in the path of Hurricane Irma plus all the fires. The world's crazy right now. So stay safe. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. So long, everybody.
Bye.